Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be preaching today from the Gospel reading, Mark chapter 4, 35 to 41. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word to us today, fill us with your Holy Spirit and deepen, strengthen our faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? That's the question they asked Jesus in the middle of our text. Jesus was asleep through this storm. They woke him up and they interpreted his sleep as a lack of concern and care for them. It's a very interesting question that they ask him. It makes me think about the reality that we face in our lives when sometimes our problems do feel worse because those close to us don't seem to take them as seriously as we'd like. We feel like we're sinking, and people close to us say, well, it's not that big a deal, is it? Sometimes we feel that way with God. Don't you care that we're perishing? By the end of the text, though, their question changes. Then they ask, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who indeed? When you discover the true answer to that question, and when you trust in that one, you will find the peace and stillness Jesus brings, even in the chaos and threats the world throws at you. Who then is this? Let's look to the text today to find three ways of answering that question. First, that Jesus is the Lord of creation. Second, that he is the Lord to be feared. And third, that Jesus is the Lord who saves. So first, we see in our text that Jesus is the Lord of creation. The situation the disciples find themselves in is, of course, this ferocious storm. A great gale arose. The waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. I wonder if you've ever been caught out in a really big storm, literally. Can you recall that unique and chilling sound that a serious storm can make? The wind howling, the rain crashing down. That sound that can really strike a unique sort of terror, especially into children and perhaps some adults as well. It's a whole other thing if you're experiencing this out in a boat, on a big body of water. To this very day, there is something about great weather events like storms which remind us as human beings just how little control we really have over our circumstances, aren't there? If there's an earthquake, for example, out there in the ocean, we have developed this wonderful technology which can alert coastal communities of the possibility of a tsunami coming. And yet, we are so far away from actually being able to stop the water. This is why in the Bible, one of the things that it means for God to be the creator is that he is the only one who has authority over his creation. We heard this in several of our readings today. So in the book of Job, for example, the Lord responded to Job out of the great whirlwind, out of the storm. This is right towards the end of the book of Job, where Job's been lamenting his suffering, even challenging God, and the Lord responds to Job by basically saying that God is God and Job is not. The Lord responds by saying, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth, Job? And when I shut in the sea with doors, when it burst out from the womb. It's a picture of creation. That God brought his order to the chaotic waters, boundaries for the sea and the dry land. And the Lord is saying to Job, Job, you can't possibly know the big picture when it comes to making sense of your own suffering. Only God, who created all this, can possibly know that. It's fundamentally important for human beings to know that this creation is not under our control. And storms should remind us of our creatureliness, our finitude. We heard the same thing in the psalm as well, didn't we? That in the psalm, these sailors were out there on the sea and they prayed to the Lord to calm the storm. Now, all this is Old Testament background, but the big point in our text now is that Jesus is the Lord of creation. The disciples don't go and pray to God in heaven to save them in our text, like in the psalm. The disciples don't even wake Jesus up and ask him to pray to the Lord, like the sailors did with Jonah, if you remember that story. The disciples go to Jesus. Jesus himself exercises authority over the unruly creation. We read that he woke up and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. Who then is this? Only the Lord himself can speak to his creation like he's calming down a worked up child. That's the really big point of this text. That this man, Jesus of Nazareth, this is the Lord now among us in human flesh. This is the Son of God through whom all things came into being, through whom the waters of creation were giving their boundaries. He is now here in the flesh restoring peace and order to the disorder of what was made. There's a famous story in history, which is legend perhaps, of a Christian king, Canute, who ruled Denmark, Sweden, and England in the 11th century. At one time, his advisors were flattering him about his great power as a king, and so the story goes that King Canute, who was a pious Christian man, set his throne by the seaside, and he commanded the incoming tide to stop and not to wet his robes. The tide, of course, continued to come in as normal. And so the king was reported to have said, "Let all people know how empty and worthless is the power of kings, for there is none worthy of the name, but he whom heaven, earth, and sea obey." Jesus is the Lord of creation. Next, though, we learn that Jesus is the Lord to be feared. Did you hear that interesting playing with fear in this text? After Jesus rebukes the storm, he has another mild rebuke of sorts, this time for his disciples. He says to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" Now, we all know that fear is such a powerful driving force in our lives, isn't it? We thought earlier about experiences of fear we may have had in literal storms, but there are all sorts of situations in our lives that make us afraid. Jesus says here, there is a connection between a certain type of fear and faith. He says that we can see behind some of our fears a lack of faith. And in this sense, faith is something of the antidote to fear. But it gets a little more complicated than that. Because after Jesus' question, we don't read that the disciples were now filled with great faith. We read that they were filled with another type of fear. Our text said they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this?" Literally, it says, they feared a great fear. So they've had this experience of fright and panic in relation to the storm, but now Jesus calming the storm, it sort of means that fear is reshaped and redirected now towards Jesus himself, properly redirected. In this sense of fear, this awe and reverence before the Lord Jesus as God Almighty in human flesh, this isn't so much the opposite to faith. This is, you could say, an aspect of faith itself. Many of you learnt this from Luther's catechism in the old days, didn't you? That we should fear and love God. Not that we should be frightened of God, not that he's somehow out to get us, but that we should have a right awe and reverence for who he is as the almighty creator of all things. Again, that's what Job was being reminded of in our Old Testament reading today. And it really does seem to me that this is something Christians in our time could take much more seriously. Modern Christians in particular are tempted to treat the Lord Jesus as if he's a big spiritual teddy bear, just my best buddy who would never say or do anything to challenge me. I had a whole conversation with students down at the university about this, which they brought up, where they were saying that it seems to them they've sometimes been introduced to something of a sanitized version of Jesus. And now as they read the Gospels as adults, they discover there's more to this Jesus. That he does challenge them. That he does denounce certain things. That he does even issue threats. One thinks of the famous line in the Narnia Chronicles. When Lucy is being told about Aslan. Aslan is a lion, the great lion. Ooh, Susan said, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. Yes, Jesus is gentle and kind. Yes, Jesus is full of the compassion and love of God, but Jesus is also a Lord to be feared, rightly feared. Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? He's the Lord of creation. He's a Lord to be feared, and then he is the Lord who saves. Jesus displays his authority over his creation, but notice this, he doesn't do it from the beach, and he doesn't do it just for spectators. He does it from in the boat. He does it for his disciples. He does it because they are in danger. He does it because despite their confusion about his sleeping, he does care for them as he cares for you. He's come to save them as he come to save you. Do you remember his question? Have you still no faith? He's calling them to trust him as he's calling you to trust him. Do you remember when Jonah was asleep on his boat? Do you remember how they finally dealt with that storm? He was thrown overboard, into the depths, into the darkness, into death itself, in a sense. And then the storm was stilled, and after 3 days, Jonah came up to the light of day. Well, in this storm, Jesus isn't thrown into the depths because his time has not yet come. But Jesus did say that the only sign given to that generation would be the sign of Jonah. That just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. You know, the disciples' question had more truth to it than they knew. Don't you care, Lord, that we are perishing? Yes, they were perishing. Yes, we are perishing, not just from a weather event, but left on our own, left in the chaos of our sin, we are perishing eternally. But Jesus has come to save. That's why at this point in the Gospels, Jesus is saving the disciples temporarily from this one event of chaos and darkness, but it will finally be on the cross that Jesus will be plunged into the depths of God's judgment on our sin. He will enter the darkness of chaos and evil. He will be engulfed by death itself, all for you, to save you He's not only your creator, he's your savior. And after 3 days, he rose to life again. So that no matter what threats you face in this life, no matter what turmoil you are in, Jesus is still in the boat with you. He still brings his word of peace and stillness today. And as is so often the case, the hymn writers capture it best, especially in that hymn we just sang. Be still, my soul. Your God will undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be clear at last. Be still, my soul. The tempests still obey his voice who ruled them once on Galilee. Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? He's the Lord. He's the Lord of creation. He's the Lord to be feared. He's the Lord who saves. God grant us faith in this one. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.